Well, hey there, Jonathan Doyle with you once again for the weekly podcast. Really looking forward to this one. Just had 2 weeks on the beach and, you know, I'm very blessed to live the life that I do and I have a fair bit of flexibility. So we were meant to be there for a week and Karen just turned to me sort of towards the end of that first week and said, do you want to do another one? It was a tough decision. Didn't take too long. And we stay in a fantastic place and took the bike up there. And I might try and sneak a couple of photos in around this podcast. But the riding and was just fantastic, and time with the kids. And, you know, a lot of the principles that I do in the weekly podcast, the biggest thing for me is that I live them, because it's about authenticity and integrity, is that if I'm doing something or I'm sharing something with you in the podcast, then I better be doing it. So one of the things that I did was, where we were staying, there is an amazing place where hang gliders just jump off this cliff and fly out over the ocean. And some of you would know it. It's called Bald Hill up near Stanwell Tops, and it's an amazing place. But the hill up to it from a place called Stanwell Park is about 3 or 4 kilometres, and the gradient is crazy, and it's just straight uphill. And so I was taking the bike out there each day. And, you know, I ended up doing it one day, 6 repeats of that hill. And it's just the most, even to do one is pretty intense. And I did 6. And I'll tell you the truth, I was actually thinking of you guys while I was doing that sort of 6-repeat session, because I'm like, you know, in the 8-step process that I'm putting out in the new book, Bridging the Gap, I talk about these threshold experiences, this ability to put yourself in places where your limits are constantly tested. So was it challenging? Yeah, it was. But what I learned was interesting was that the hardest part is the first 3 to 4. And by the time you get to 6, it's as if your brain kind of goes, look, this guy's crazy. Let's just give up complaining. And, you know, if we just stay quiet, maybe it'll all be over faster. So, you know, it's pushing those thresholds. And often it's just getting into the groove of pushing them that really creates change. Now, you are going to have parallels in your own life. There are going to be places in your life where you can have threshold experiences and push yourself harder. And I want to keep talking about those in the weeks ahead. But the book will be out soon and it's going to be really short. My first book was a fair bit longer, but this one, really short. I want it to be something you can read on a single plane flight, or, you know, you can read in a couple of hours, but you're going to love it. Now, a couple of shout outs this week. I want to say g'day to Mick Levick, the husband of a good friend of Karen and mine. G'day, Liz. I know you guys listen to the podcast, so hi to you. And a big g'day to Jackie, who runs the Curves Gym at Sutherland. Jackie got in touch this week. It was really cool. Thank you, Jackie, for your email, just saying how the weekly podcast reaches her and her team. So thank you to you guys. Get in touch if you want to give me some feedback or say g'day, or if you have a topic you'd like me to cover, just flip me an email through the website. Okay, let's get straight into the content. I've got a little personal thing that drives me crazy. Sometimes you listen to podcasts and the person takes about 2 hours to actually get there. So hopefully I've got a couple things out of the way. I want to charge in now. Hopefully you're listening somewhere. You've maybe got a pen, because I always love it if you can take notes. But wherever you're listening to this, let's charge in. I want to share with you a really cool little story. On Saturday, we were back from holiday, and I wanted to give Karen a break because she does an amazing job with the kids. And I took them out for a bike ride. Now, my kids are still really young, and they're just mastering bike riding. And we went to this beautiful place, and we're riding, and it's really cool. You know, like the sun was out, had a coffee, and I got my youngest on the seat behind me, and I got the other two. And we're riding along, and my little boy is just a dude. He's an awesome little man, and he's on training wheels. And he's sort of, you know, doing this stuff on training wheels, and he's learning, and it's amazing to watch him sort of push his boundaries and just go faster and faster. And, you know, I don't know whether, I don't think it's just a boy thing, but this desire just to constantly push and to grow. And later that afternoon, we agreed that, you know, we're going to take off the training wheels. And this is a big step. And I don't know if you remember this in your own life, you probably don't, but, you know, that symbolizes a lot. You know, the end of training wheels is a big step in anybody's life. And we decided we're going to take them off. And he said something to me that is going to form the basis of this podcast. It was just a little phrase. You know, we were talking about taking them off, and he just said, oh, you know, Dad, and here it comes, 4 words or 5 words. He goes, I want to go faster. I want to go faster. And there's so much in that that I want to unpack for you. Now, firstly, You know, he didn't say, please leave my training wheels on. In fact, can you add training wheels at the front as well so I can go slower? Do you notice this natural human tendency that he has, that I have, and that you actually have, even if you're not fully in touch with it at the moment? We all have this desire to improve and to grow. It's just inbuilt, hardwired, this developmental drive. And he's like, I want to go faster. And it's in us, it's in you, this inbuilt desire for growth, excellence. Now, you go back to the Greeks, and as you know, in my second master's, I did a lot of work around Aristotle. You know, the Greeks, 2,500 years ago, were the first to really start to look at what it means to be a person and how the person is structured. And Aristotle's big on this, that this, you know, this vector, you know, a vector is like the path that a rocket takes, you know, that it actually, when it takes off, the vector is its kind of direction that it's traveling. And Aristotle would argue that humans have one as well, that we have this inbuilt capacity and vector for growth. So all I'm doing in most of my work and in this podcast is trying to awaken that in you and to really convict you today that you have within you this vector, this capacity for excellence. Just like, you know, my little boy wants to go faster, there are areas of your life where there is still a little person in you, a little boy or a girl in you, that's just like, you know, AJ, and you want to go faster. You want to grow and develop. So basically, it's in you, it's in everybody. So it raises the obvious question, which is, you know, why doesn't it work? You know, why doesn't everybody live this way? Why does so many of us begin to shut down? Now, it's such a powerful question. If you look at last week's podcast when I took you through the eight principles, and we talk about this concept of homeostasis, this constant pulling back where we just want to stay at the baseline. And I thought again about, you know, AJ, my little boy, learning how to ride. And it's like when he was, you know, so what we do is we brought him home, we took off his training wheels. And, you know, because now this is the second one of my kids that I've taught to ride, and there'll be some of you who are listening to this who've done it as well. You know, you've taught a child, and, you know, the first 2 days is carnage, right? It is tears, it is, you know, scratched knees, it is elbows, it's the whole bit. But, you know, what I want to do with this is firstly say this. Once you connect to that desire for growth and you start to move towards it, it's just like riding the bike in the sense that you are going to get scratches. You are going to have failure and you are going to fall. But now come back to the example with AJ riding his bike. You know, he just doesn't fall off a few times. And yes, he cries and he's upset, but he doesn't go, right, that's it. I am never riding a bike again. For the rest of my life, I'm going to avoid bikes. I'm going to walk everywhere. My friends will have bikes, but I won't have bikes. Do you notice the kids don't give up? That, yeah, they might fall, but the general direction is they just keep going. Now, when we learn any skill, or let's come back to you, let's think about this area of your life where you could be performing at a much higher level because it is in you. I know that. I know this to be true, that whatever area, whether it's your career, finance, physical fitness, relationships, spirituality, whatever area it is, there is so much more capacity in you. And I could just spend an hour proving that to you. But often when we start to move, we metaphorically fall off the bike. And we, unlike kids, we just give up. Or we just, you know, start drinking more, eating chocolate every day. We just bury it because we figure that it's really hard and we're just going to give up. And often, the reason we don't grow is because we never articulate it like this. We never sort of stop and say to ourselves, you know, it is weird to be human because we sabotage ourselves so often. I want to give you an example in my own life is that a lot of what I do now involves, yes, speaking, traveling, training people, businesses, schools, working with all sorts of different groups, but I'm really interested in what, you know, the internet is doing and creating. And I try and balance that with a lot of reading and reflection and silence, but for me, I got to use a lot of tools. So a lot of social media stuff, a lot of finance software, a lot of different things. And when I was thinking about this podcast, I realized that, you know, over maybe 5 or 10 years, I've often started with a piece of software and got excited about it and got into it and then not really mastered it and just kind of let it go and sort of didn't really get into it. And then, you know, my life just drifted on. Where? Back to homeostasis, back to where I was before I even found the thing. Now, more recently, as I've become more aware and I'm doing more of this stuff with people like you and starting to really think about it, I've realized this point where I repeat the process of new thing, learning, bit difficult, drifting back. And now I've gone, no, this is like falling off the bike. You know, when you quit, it's like falling off the bike. So the trick is, now I push through. Now I actually figure out that this is the point where I normally stop, so I'm going to be very conscious. How many times have I said that to you? You've got to be really conscious about your life. You've got to actually live it, wake up to it, and be switched on to your motivations and your self-sabotaging behaviors, just like I do. So now I'm working on a new finance package at the moment that we're using in our business, and I'm like, right, I got to know this. So I've got rules of like every night I sort of just, you know, spend 10, 15, 20 minutes working through the material or looking at training videos or reading part of the manual so that I'm constantly just making myself metaphorically get back on the bike. So that's sort of the master metaphor. You know, metaphors are really powerful because they give us tools, you know, to get leverage on ourselves and to get insight. Is you have the capacity, as AJ does, to go faster, to grow. But you've learned that when you try and it gets difficult, it's easier, it is much easier just to switch off and to sort of give up. And often, you know, you get negative feedback too. I mean, this is the difference between us and little kids, is that, you know, when AJ falls off his bike, I don't sort of go, that is terrible, that is the worst bike riding I've ever seen, that is just awful, don't ever ride a bike again. That would destroy him, and it'd be the complete opposite of my heart as a father to him. But, you know, what do? He falls off. I go, come on, mate, you're going to be fine. Let's keep going. Let's do it again. No, that was really good. Just stay with him, and reinforce positive behavior until he just nails it. And then I celebrate with him. But that's not how things work for us in other areas of our life. So let's talk about you again. Let's think about an area of your life where in the past you were really good at something or you're really passionate about something. So it could have been drama, painting, sport, and you were really passionate about it. And then, you know, you did something and you got really negative feedback. So it mightn't have even been accurate. So you might have been in high school and you're into something and you're pretty good at it, but, you know, you did something and then all your friends just laughed at you, or someone said, oh, that's crazy. Or you saw somebody who was really good at it and you went, oh, I'll never be like that. So often what happens is you get lots of negative feedback. So unlike me encouraging Aiden, there are plenty of people, situations, circumstances that you've already been through that have shut you down. You know, you've stepped up to do something, you got laughed at. Or you went for a job, job interview and you failed and you didn't get it. Well, you didn't fail, you just got feedback. You know, that's my mantra. And, you know, so often what do we do with that? I mean, a very small number of us go, I don't care, I'm just going to keep going, I don't care what anybody says. You know, that's the kind of Steve Jobs of this world, you know, the kind of people who just have an idea and they don't care and they just go for it. But I actually think we all got to get there. You got to get to the point where you go, I don't care what the negative feedback is. You know, this is the key to an extraordinary life. I think it's this ability to go, I got one life. I can't live in the shadows. I can't worry so much about what everybody else thinks because I want to go faster. You know, metaphorically, whatever it is in me, my skills, I got to keep going. I got to keep putting myself out there. And no matter what the feedback is, you know, if it's negative, I got to critique it and learn from it and maybe take some of it on board, but you can't let it shut you down. So, you know, keep those metaphors. Think of, you know, a little kid falling off the bike. And think of, you know, in your life, metaphorically again, you've probably fallen off the bike a few times and rather than getting encouragement, you got criticism or you got, you know, made fun of. And you decided that it's better just to play it safe. You can't live that way. That's what's got to change. So get out there today and just laugh at the world. Just go, you know what? I'm going to be crazy today. I'm just going to go out, be outrageous and be authentic and just do what's on my heart to do. And if everyone, you know, I tell you, if you start doing this, people go nuts. Like people in your life will just start looking at you going, what happened to you? You know, even lately, I'll be really honest with you, I'm really excited because at this phase of my life, you know, it's really exciting. Like I'm really enjoying what I'm doing and I'm feeling really healthy and alive and positive. And, you know, Karen sometimes says to me, she says, wow, like you're just really changing. Like, you know, I've always been into sort of development and growth, but she says, wow, like, and that's the most awesome feedback to have someone really close to me go, yeah, you're growing. But Karen's really positive, right? She'll support that. But you may have people in your life who'll be like, who don't want you to change. And I've done whole podcasts on this where it's like when you start to grow, people around you will be like, they'll criticize because they're afraid because they're not growing and they see you changing and succeeding and they're like, they get threatened by it. So you always got to be prepared for that. So quick summary, you know, you have something in you. And I haven't, may not have met you personally. I have met a lot of you personally, but if I haven't, it's in there. You have some amazing capacities, abilities, you know, sort of dreams, goals, aspirations, things that you can do that no one else can. I mean, if we know one thing about God, right, he's into diversity. You know, he's into variety. You go to the Amazon and it's not like every tree is the same, is it? It's like God just seems to like all the different stuff we do. And you've got stuff. You've got stuff that you can do that you love. And you know what? Really simply, you can do it better. You can do it better, bigger, faster. You can reach more people with it. You've just got to realize that it's in you and that you've got to walk through the metaphorical falling off the bike and keep going. All right, so end of sermon on that. Listen to this again. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Wherever you are, wherever you're sitting right now, when you finish listening to this, walk out of the room, get off the train, get out of the car, wherever it is, and just get this in your bones and just start to live and feel differently. So what I want to do just to finish is something I want to introduce occasionally here in the podcast is I want to give you a couple of book reviews, really quick ones, just because I'm a massive reader. If you could see my office and in my house, you know, I think basically, you know, I probably could have bought a small island in the Caribbean by now, based on how many times I've hit place order on Book Depository or Amazon. I just love it. You know, I keep saying that the internet has democratized the world, like in terms of access to information. Through books and podcasts and online video, you can access the best minds in the world. You know, yesterday I was just sitting in the office and I was taking a break and I'm watching a training video on how to handle downhill speed on a bike. Now, who's doing the video? Oh, just one of the best cyclists in the world is just providing this blow-by-blow, frame-by-frame, minute-by-minute, you know, training video on how, you know, you have access to this amazing stuff, to the best people in the world. And books are a huge part of that. And so the two that I've just finished or just finishing, and I try and read one to two a week. I know that sounds crazy. You have to be disciplined. You have to just get in a good space, get a pen in hand, underline, take notes. But I've just finished a really interesting book called Money, A Love Story. Money, A Love Story. Now, it's by Kate Northrup, Northrup, and I'll put a link to her book under the podcast. Really awesome book. Great story. Kate was like, came from a really famous family. Her mother was on Oprah 11 times. Very wealthy background, but Kate sort of just didn't learn financial discipline at all. And she ended up over $20,000 in debt. And she kind of just looked at her life and she just saw this massive difference between the kind of work she was doing, teaching women about, you know, growth and change and financial freedom when she was in debt herself. And she saw this huge gap between who she was publicly and where she was privately. So she started to change this and to take huge steps and to teach people and to bring her life into alignment. And the book Money, A Love Story is really cool. It talks a lot about our underlying psychology to money. And look, this is a really loaded topic because everybody's got different ideas about money and wealth and prosperity, and you don't need any money, you should just trust and be happy, and some people are obsessed with it. And what she does really well in the book is take you through the psychology. See, you have learned deep things in your life about money, very much about how you grew up, how you watched money growing up, and how you learned about how money was talked about and used, and whether it was, you know, in your home, here's a question, was money a source of anxiety, stress? Or was it a source of, like, you know, abundance and joy and stability? And I'm not judging you, I don't know. But we learn deep lessons. And she's going to step you through that process. It's a very practical book, huge amount of journaling in it. You know, I love journaling. So I really recommend that book to you. It's a great read and really just take some time and track it down. It just, you know, it talks about little steps, like, you know, just helping you sort of just become more conscious of where your money's going. You know, because I'm a big believer in this, that you don't have to become the richest person in the graveyard, but, you know, inability to handle money is a huge cause of stress. You know, if we don't handle it well, it becomes a great source of anxiety in life. And, you know, yes, it can also become a source of anxiety if you're so driven by it that your whole life revolves around it. But you want to really be controlling this aspect of your life. And that's a great book to do it. The other one quickly is I'm just finishing a book called The Startup of You. Now, that's by Reid Hoffman, who is co-founder of LinkedIn. So Reid is a massive venture capitalist in Silicon Valley. He's kind of been everywhere, seen everything in the whole startup space. So what he does is he takes the metaphor of how entrepreneurs start up a business And he applies that to the changing career landscape. So, you know, whether you're a young person or you're not in the sort of in the career path yet, or whether you're in a career path, he just makes some really astute observations, which is that for most of history, you know, you joined a corporation, you climbed the ladder or organization, and they paid you off in retirement. And it was kind of, you know, cradle to grave. You kind of just went into a career or an industry, stayed there till you're really old, and they took care of you. And that has fundamentally changed. So I'm often saying to people in live events that, you know, you'd want to be getting really good at what you do, because, you know, globalization and technology mean that people all over the world can do what you do. So you want to find unique points of difference and you want to get good at it. So he really takes you through understanding your career, networking, you know, how to really build your sort of assets around your career. And I'm cool with this because it's all part of that vocation strategy. The more you master this stuff, the more you can serve and the more you can take your skills and talents and direct them in the service of others. So two great books, Money, A Love Story by Kate Northrup and The Startup of You by Reid Hoffman. And they'll be underneath the video here. So that's the weekly podcast for this week. Summary, there's amazing stuff in you. You got to get back on the bike and keep going and, you know, think about those threshold experiences. Get in touch with me if you need to. Send me an email. Let me know a topic you'd like me to cover. If you're in business or another organization, flip me an email. I'd love to come and maybe do some speaking and run some really great seminars on personal excellence, leadership, motivation for your business or group. I'd love to hear from you. Jump on iTunes if you get a chance. I'd love you to post a review in there, as I always do. I'll put some links here. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, Instagram, just about everywhere else. So friends, I'm about to get out of here and really try and live some of these principles. I hope they're useful to you. Share them with lots of people. Keep your eye out for the book. I'm going to be working on it again the next week, and it'll be out really soon. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This is the Weekly Podcast, and I'm pumped about speaking to you again personally next week.